family, welcome to The Residence Resource, the podcast for making home and family happy, healthy, and holy for those who reside in the Falmouth vicinity. And even if you're not in the Falmouth area, a special welcome to you, my listeners, for joining from wherever you are. If you like the content, you are more than welcome to listen, to share with someone else, and to leave a comment. I'm your host, Yenny Lewis. This episode is entitled Fun Indoor Family Activities. This is the episode where we will be exploring a range of activities and games that you and your family can do together for fun. I know that we live in tough, often fearful times, but I believe you can still laugh and play together as a family. So, stay tuned to learn and to remind yourself of some ideas for how you and your family can still share moments of joy together. But before we go any further, let us listen to our home building tip from the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That was your home building tip from the Bible, brought to you by The Residence Resource. The first group of indoor family activities we will discuss is what I call the sitting games. The sitting games. These are ideal for nighttime when you might not be able to go out on the veranda, perhaps, or if you live in a small space. These would be ideal types of indoor family activities. I also want to mention how good these games are, these sitting games are, for families who have an elderly family member or families with someone who is physically disabled who cannot move around a lot, but you still want to involve these persons in your family time. So these sitting games would be great to include all the family members who are not able to move around as much as you would want, or as much as they would want. So what are these games? Some of them are board games that require some type of purchase to be made. Others, thankfully, require no investment. I will not go through the details of each game, but I will try to give an overview of some of them. And what I will try to do is to leave links on the Residence Resource website, so you can get more details as to how each game is played if you're not familiar with, or if you don't remember how some of these games are played. So, here we go. The first sitting game that I will be putting out there to you is called Scrabble. Maybe it's a personal bias that has allowed me to mention it first. I grew up playing Scrabble. I love Scrabble. I love word games overall. But Scrabble brings back memories from my childhood. It accommodates 2 to 4 players, and it is recommended for ages 8 and over. So that is the board game called Scrabble. Then there's Chinese checkers. It is recommended for 2, 3, 4, or 6 players, and apparently you are able to now include children as young as 3 years old and over. So that makes Chinese checkers really good if you have a family of young children who you want to involve in your family night, in your fun night of family games and activities. Now, as Jamaicans, I cannot mention family board games or sitting type of games without mentioning good old dominoes. Dominoes accommodates 2 to 4 players, and based on packages that I looked up on the internet, it is recommended for children as young as 3 years old as well. So that's a plus for dominoes. The next board game I remember playing growing up was one called Sorry. Yes, Sorry. S-O-R-R-Y. It is for 2 to 4 players, and it goes from age 6 and over. And we cannot be Jamaicans discussing board games and we don't mention Jamaican Ludi. Yes, man. Apparently, it's very, very fun and addictive. I did not grow up really playing it, but I knew about it, and I know that there are people who just absolutely love Jamaican Ludi, or people say Ludo, but in Jamaica it is popularly called Ludi. It is for 2 to 4 players, and based on packages that I saw online, it is recommended for children from as young as 6 years old. Now, in talking about sitting games, I have to mention card games. Yes, this brings back another fun memory for me from my childhood. No, I'm not going to go through all the possible variations of card games we can play, but I just want to mention Go Fish, Pass Around Donkey, which I don't know if everybody in Jamaica knew it by that name, but that is what I grew up calling one of them. Then you had Three a Card, and then there's one they call Thief in Cassie or Thief in Castle. I think Thief in Cassie was the right name, but there are so many card games you can play. I also want to mention Pictionary. Now, Pictionary involves you getting now into drawing, so you need pencil and paper. Now, there are many variations of it. In fact, you actually have a Pictionary board game that you can purchase. But you can have your own version of Pictionary where you have 2 groups of persons. Each group comes up with its own list of words that they want the other team to guess. You have your list of words, and then you have the other team bring you their artist, the person who is going to draw for them. You show the person the word and you give them, say, 1 minute to draw on the paper, and then that person's teammates will have that 1 minute to try to figure out the word that they are drawing. That is the essence of what Pictionary is. It is fun, and perhaps you can involve the younger age group of your children, depending on how mature they are in their understanding and in being able to figure out clues from just drawing, or even how well they themselves are able to draw. But remember, it's about the fun. So, you know, they don't have to be excellent artists. You yourself don't even have to be an excellent artist. That, I think, is a part of the fun in itself, for you to just be creative or just be funny in what you're able to draw. So that is the game of Pictionary. Now, another game that I grew up playing was what we called genius. A lot of people actually knew it as ABC fast or slow, right? This is another pencil and paper type of game, but you're not going to draw as in Pictionary. You are actually going to have two or more players working with the categories of boys, girls, animals, places, and things. Those were the basic categories that I played, but you can be creative and come up with your own categories. So the aim is for you to go through the alphabet, create your own answers for each category, and unique answers at the end of each round score 100 points. If persons have repeat answers, say more than one person have the same answer, you have to divide 100 by the number of persons who have the same answer. So at the end of the game, the person with the highest score, of course, wins. In essence, you would have one person asking the question, ABC fast or slow. So for example, if I ask you, ABC fast or slow, you would tell me, for example, fast. Then I would say, start. And in your mind, you would go through the alphabet from letter A. Go through it fast. Then I would say, stop. So for example, you might have reached the letter Z. Then now, you, who gave the letter, are now in charge. You now tell the players when to start writing their answers and when to stop. Now you can choose to be very leisure with it, very relaxed with it, where you can tell them to start and you take your own sweet time thinking about all the boys and girls and animals and places and things you can think of that start with the letter you chose, which was letter Z in my example, so that you can come up with the most unique answers. But some people are more competitive. They want to make sure that nobody else gets to write any answer, so they write down their answers fast, 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 and then they say stop. And then they have the competitive advantage because the other players didn't get to write down anything pretty much. Now, the person who comes up with the most unique answers will eventually get the highest score. Whatever letter you reach mentally, that is what you're going to be using as your marker, so to speak, for what you give as your answers. At the end of each round, the players will share their answers. And again, if you have any repeat answers, then you have to divide up the score. Divide up 100 by either 2 or 3, depending on how many players you have. This game of Genius is suitable for 2 or more players, but I find that you have to have, if you want to include children in this, they have to be of a more advanced age group. One is that they have to be able to write and spell, right? So I think it's more suitable for an older age group of children, but it is fun and you learn a lot from it. If you're playing with the right type of persons, you learn so many new things. And the thing about it is that it challenges you so much that you want to actually go and study. That was my experience. You wanted to go and visit, you know, National Geographic and learn all these weird animals so that you could come back next time and give some unique answers. So it's fun in that sense too. So that's the game of Genius, which a lot of people call ABC fast or slow. Then another pencil and paper game is tic-tac-toe. Granted, you can only play this with 2 persons, but because it is so simple, I still wanted to mention it as one of the sitting games for your family, because you can involve very young children with this simple tic-tac-toe, where you just try to put your X's or your circles in a row and you win based on how many of those you get. Simple and fun. Now, I also wanted to mention some special types of board games or card games in the Bible category. I'm just going to go through some of them, there are so many out there, but I found these to be the most valuable in terms of either the number of players that they can accommodate. So let's get into it. First off, there is a Bible board game called Apples to Apples Bible Edition. It is suitable for ages 9 and over and can accommodate 4 to 10 players. So I mentioned this one because of the fact that you can involve 10 people. So that's awesome. There is also Scrabble Bible Edition. Yes. The age range is the same from 8 and up, 2 to 4 players as for the traditional Scrabble. But the difference here is that you get bonus points for using words like cross, holy, servant, love. And whereas in the traditional Scrabble, you are not allowed to use proper names, in Bible Scrabble, you can use proper names like Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. So if you want to more focus on the Bible and learn words from the Bible, teach them to your children, the Scrabble Bible Edition would be a good option. I also came across Gestures, that's G-U-E-S-S-T-U-R-E-S, Gestures Bible Edition. Recommended for ages 8 and up, and you can play from 2 to 24 players. It's amazing that number 24 really just impresses me. So it's like you can have a big family get together and just play Gestures Bible Edition. I also came across a card game called Bible Old Man for ages 4 and up. And you can play for, it can be played by, 2 to 6 players. Now I just want to mention that you can purchase these online, but seeing that this is something that is for the residents of Falmouth, I just want to put it out there that if you know of any store in the Falmouth area that has any of these board games in stock or the playing cards, any of these that we can use to enhance our family time together, please let me know so I can mention them on the website to promote our local businesses here in the Falmouth area. Now, I'm going to share with you some of the more physical games where you actually have to get up, get going, get moving. First off, and this is one of my favorite games of all times, that is 1, 2, 3 red light. Oh my, no investment needed, no pen and paper. You just need your family, someone who can count from 1 to 3, and that means everybody can play as long as your children can at least walk or even crawl. You know, everybody can get in on this one. So the leader will stand with back turned to everyone else. You stand at a fair distance from everyone. You can play it in your living room. And you say 1, 2, 3, red light. While you're saying 1, 2, 3, red light, the other persons behind you are going to try their best to come as close to you without you seeing them. The aim is that they would want to be the first, someone would want to be the first one to touch you so that they can become the leader. Once the leader turns around, if the person sees anybody moving, then that person has to go right back to the starting line. And that's where a lot of the fun now comes in, because people are going to say, oh, you never see me. So it's really fun, really exciting. And you, of course, start over when one person is able to now reach you and touch you as the leader. So now you get to play, and then that person is able to be the person to say 1, 2, 3 red light. Very simple. You don't need any setup, and it's fun. Then there is Chinese skipping. I don't know how many of us remember Chinese skipping. I remember in school, it was such a big deal to us to walk with the rubber bands to make our Chinese skipping rope. For this game, you are going to need family members who have a lot more dexterity than normal. But I'm still mentioning it because it is fun and it is pretty simple to set up. You just need the rubber bands to put together to make that Chinese skipping rope. Three persons play, and you begin your maneuvers at the ankle. Then you advance to the knees, then to the waist, then to the armpits, then to the neck, and for some more adventurous people, they even do fingertips. And yes, I used to see it happen in school. Then now we go to Twister. Twister is a more American type game. It is something that you will require to purchase, as far as I know. And the essence of it is that you have 2 to 4 players facing each other. There is a mat that you would be standing outside of. Then someone would be a referee. You spin, there's a spinner. You call out a body part and the color. And for example, left foot blue. Then everybody at the same time would try to follow the directions and place their body parts on one of the open circles. If a player's elbow or knee touches the mat, then they're out, they're eliminated. And of course, the last player left standing is the winner. So you can try that game of Twister. Then there's hopscotch. All right, hopscotch, you're probably wondering, why do I include it in an indoor game? Well, it is simple to really just put some chalk on your floor, or if you have a type of marker that you can easily wipe off, hopscotch, you can set it up in your living room too. Again, it's great for children. I've played it with my children, and they're under 4 years old. You might not get them perfectly jumping, but hey, the point is to get together and do something fun as a family, and it is great to help them to learn to count. Then good old Simon Says. Oh my, Simon Says is fun. In Simon Says, you have a leader giving instructions, and you only obey the instruction that is preceded by the phrase Simon Says. So if I say Simon Says stand, you have to stand. But if I say stand and you stand, then you're out, because you have to follow only what Simon Says. So that's fun too. And you need no investment for that. You just need to get together and play Simon Says. I also mentioned hide and seek. Hide and seek, depending on how much space you have in your home, you could try good old hide and seek. And maybe you could even hide some little sweets, some little treasures. They have a little treasure hunt, hide and seek type of thing going on. So you could try that as well as an indoor family game. Now, one of my favorites is charades. Charades is kind of similar in concept to Pictionary, but instead of sitting and drawing something, you actually get up and you act it out. You demonstrate it. No talking aloud. You have to just act it out. So again, you can look at it as two groups coming up with their own list of words for the other group to guess. The other group will send their best actor. The person will look at the words, and then you give them, say, a set. Maybe you don't have to set a set time, you know, but you could give them a set time within which they have to guess what the person is trying to act out for them to guess. Now, there's another game that we used to play. It probably could be considered a ring game. I'm not sure, but let me share it with you. We used to call it Concentration, because that's the essence of what it was. You just got together in a circle and you said, Concentration, concentration now begins, starting with boys. Or you start with names of food, and you keep the rhythm going, and you know, everybody's just supposed to come and think really fast on their feet, and you're not supposed to repeat any answer that the person gives in the circle. So it's a concentration game. You have somebody who calls out what we're going to do. It's almost like a verbal form of ABC fast or slow, but you just blurt out the answers and you're not allowed to repeat what somebody else said in that category. It's fun. So that's concentration. Now, another type of concentration game that I learned in my youth fellowship many years ago was called Matthew to Mark. In this game, we had four persons and the names of the four Gospels in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were assigned to the four players. Now, the challenge of this game is that you have to remember which name was assigned to who you know. So you would no longer know me as Yannick. You'd have to call me Matthew. And I would have to remember that my name is Matthew. So that's the fun in it. So you would play like Matthew to Mark. So it's almost like you're saying, I am Matthew and I'm calling to Mark. So I would say Matthew to Mark. But if Mark doesn't remember that Mark is his name, then you get out. Or if he answers to the wrong name, then he'll be eliminated. The fun of it is, as I said, being able to keep track of who was assigned which name and keeping track of the name that you were given. And when other players drop out, you have to keep on remembering who is left in the game. All right, so that's a game called Matthew to Mark. And I think you could also extend it to involve more than four players. You just give them different, probably, names in the Bible or something, right? But each person would have to remember that, hey, that's the name that you've been given. So that's called Matthew to Mark. And so that is my collection of the physical games you can play indoors as a family. Now, what about other types of indoor family activities? You know, I was thinking about it and I realized that you can do something else, you know. There's another set of games you can do. The first one I'm going to suggest, and this is also something that I learned in a church youth fellowship, I'm going to call it the alphabet sing-off. Here, you have two groups, and you're going to go through the alphabet. So the first group starts off with a song, starting with A. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. So while that group is singing their song that starts with A, the other group has to be thinking on their feet, no, okay, we need a song that starts with B. Be magnified, oh Lord, and they just blurt it out, and while they're blurting out that song, then the other group now has to say, okay, another song that starts with C. So you go through and you basically have a sing-off all the way through the alphabet. It was just fun, and I believe it can be fun for you and your family, you know. So depending on how many songs you think your family knows, you could try this one. Otherwise, the next suggestion is just sing. You could either sing from a hymnal or just sing from memory. This would be a great opportunity for parents to teach the children some of the older songs. Probably some of the old-time folk songs, you know, the older hymns that a lot of our children just don't know. So you just get together and you sing. That's an awesome indoor family activity. And my last suggestion is you get together, you put on a CD or whatever you use to play music, and you just dance, okay? So here are all my suggestions and my ideas for how you can have fun family time together indoors. Being indoors does not have to be, you know, something boring. Being at home doesn't have to be something that we look down on and think it's almost like a punishment. It doesn't have to be a punishment. Get together and either purchase a board game, or you just use what you have, use resources that you have, and be creative and just have fun. Feel free to let me know what you try and how it turns out for your family.
Loved what you've heard on this week's episode? Well, the answer is simple. It would mean the world to us if you could head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and feedback. Spreading the word really is the best way to grow our podcast and achieve even greater things. Thank you. Thank you.